Penguin Random House Audio presents The Pumpkin Plan, a simple strategy to grow a remarkable business in any field. This is the author Mike Michalowicz, and yes, I'm reading my own frickin' book. And I want to give you a little bit of a heads up before we get started. I am passionate about this subject. I want your entrepreneurial success in the worst way. And selfishly, it speaks to my life's mission. I am on a mission to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. We share this journey together. My job is to serve you, to teach you, to give you the recipe. Your job is to cook it up. So let's get ready to do this together. And by the way, there will be a few profanities in this book. If that offends you, I apologize. And right now I want to tell you it's coming. So maybe you want to get a refund for this book. It won't offend me. I don't want to offend you. But the reason I use profanities is because that's real entrepreneurial talk, at least as I've experienced it. So I'm just talking in the real language that entrepreneurs use. I'm sure you've occasionally dropped an F-bomb here or an S-bomb there. Perhaps you've said something inappropriate out of frustration. And that's the reality of entrepreneurship. So that's why I use those words. And the other part is I'm from New Jersey. So, you know, if that offends you, I get it. Oh, and I got a special bonus for you at the end. I do an interview with the show director, Scott Creswell, and we talk about special insights I learned as I was writing The Pumpkin Plan and ever since. It's a real fun interview. Make sure you check it out.
Note to listeners, this audiobook contains exclusive commentary by the author, including updates to many of the subjects and stories since the time of the original publication of this book.
To Carly Simon, you probably think this book is about you, don't you? Don't you? Introduction. Let's pretend you're in the market for a good pumpkin. You pack the kiddies in the car and drive out to the local pumpkin patch. When you get there, you see row after row after overwhelming row of orange, green, and brown. You're looking for the perfect pumpkin, but they all seem to look the same. It is easy to pick out the bad ones, though. They're smashed or dented or bruised or look hauntingly similar to your mother-in-law. You keep searching, and just after you get through the corn maze, you spot it. The biggest pumpkin you've ever seen. It's like Charlie Brown's Great Pumpkin Big. It's so big, it's hard to believe it's even real. Suddenly, your kids start running toward this freak of nature like it's the greatest thing ever. And you've got to admit, it kind of is. The gigantor pumpkin dwarfs all of the other pumpkins in the field. As you walk over to it, you don't even see the other pumpkins, and you wonder how you didn't spot it right off the bat. Although it's surrounded by red tape and signs saying, "Prize-winning pumpkin, not for sale," your kids are begging you to buy it. Please, it's the only pumpkin we want. You walk around it, marveling at its size and its remarkableness. You get out your phone and take pictures of your kids standing next to it and text your friends, telling them they have to come see the most awesome gigantic pumpkin in the world. Like a magnet, the pumpkin draws a continuous stream of other people too. They pass by the other smaller pumpkins, their eyes glued to the orange wonder before them. The bald guy says, "How is this even possible?" The buttoned-up woman says, "It's clearly a genetic mutation." The wide-eyed grade school boy says, "The farmer must have some super secret veggie vitamins or something." And the dazed and confused teenager says, "Dude, it looks like Jabba the Hutt knocked up a basketball." There is something absolutely irresistible, something magnetic about being the extreme, be it the strongest or the fastest or the most unique. The farmer with the most extraordinary pumpkin in the field wins every single time. The same is true for entrepreneurs. Yet most entrepreneurs work their tails off, only to end up with small, ordinary, unremarkable pumpkins. Compared to the giant pumpkin, the companies these struggling entrepreneurs grow are insignificant, so insignificant that customers often don't see them or squash them or leave them to rot in the field without a second thought. To grow a successful business, your company must be irresistibly magnetic. The average lose and are left to rot. It's the most unique, the best, who win. You're probably thinking, duh, Do you really think I'm working my ass off to build an average company? What more do I have to do to be the best? Simple. You don't need to do more. You need to do different. You have to pretend you're a pumpkin farmer. Yep, you heard that right. A pumpkin farmer. But not just any pumpkin farmer. A freaky, geeky, overall-wearing, straw-chewing pumpkin farmer. Those county fair folks who dedicate their lives to growing the half-ton pumpkins you see on the evening news. Turns out that they, of all people, hold the secret formula for big-time entrepreneurial success. Plant hardy seeds, identify the most promising pumpkins, kill off the rest of the vine, and nurture only the pumpkins with the biggest potential. In this book, I reveal how, by implementing the same strategies pumpkin farmers use to grow their massive gourds, and which I have, with great originality, deemed the Pumpkin Plan, I was able to launch 2 multimillion-dollar companies by my 30th birthday, gain notoriety with top firms, and in turn help them radically grow their businesses. Not only will I share my stories and their stories of success, but most importantly, I will teach you how to apply the same ideas and lessons to your own business. Now, I want to share something because this is the updated version I'm reading to you right now. It's now 2020. I actually have had failures also, and those failures have occurred when I didn't stick with what I'm teaching you. I, the author of this book, didn't do what I'm sharing. Fatal mistake, fatal flaw, and I had a collapsed business. Then I went back to the Pumpkin Plan, and now I've had 4 multimillion-dollar companies because I follow this process. I swear to you, my friend, this works, this works, this works. Just stick with it. Stick with it. You've got this. Never forget this. Ordinary pumpkins are always forgotten. Only the giant pumpkin draws a crowd and lives on holiday cards, refrigerators, and grainy YouTube videos. Forever. The giant pumpkin is legend. And when you've grown one, you will be a legend too. You didn't start your business because you wanted to blend in, make enough to get by, and save enough to pay for the nursing home. You went into business because you wanted to grow something amazing, something that would dramatically change the quality of your life, something that would make a difference in the world. The late Steve Jobs has been lauded for his many accomplishments and innovations. There's no doubt that Apple is one of the truly remarkable companies on the planet, thanks in large part to his vision. But his contributions go beyond innovation. At the time of Jobs' death, Apple employed almost 47,000 people, hired thousands of subcontractors, and, by necessity or association, inspired countless entrepreneurs to create businesses that served Apple and its customers. This is a huge contribution to our culture, one that goes way beyond how we listen to music or communicate with the world. Now that's legend. I want to share a little side story. I did some research on Apple computers after I wrote The Pumpkin Plan and found a fascinating story about Steve Jobs and becoming the best. He exploited a personal oddity. It's funny, often us as children, when we're in kindergarten or whatever it is, we don't know the rules, the social norms. We behave the way we want to behave. But very quickly, society tells us to comply. You know, your friends say you got to dress like us or you're not cool. Your teacher says you must color in the lines or you'll get a failing grade. Well, Steve Jobs had this oddity that he actually embraced as an adult. Now, you got to Google this. Don't do it now. You're listening to the book, after all. You're probably driving. But I'll tell you this. Google this later. Google Steve Jobs' phobia. Steve Jobs had a phobia of buttons. Of buttons! You want to know why he wore that turtleneck shirt? He was afraid of buttons. And he didn't wear buttonfly jeans, if you know what I'm talking about. Steve Jobs' phobia of buttons made them a prolific company because they became innovators of blending technology with art. Steve's maniacal focus on removing buttons triggered the Apple product line, where the iPhone has, well, initially had one embedded button and then no buttons. The iPad, one embedded button. They were all because Steve Jobs wanted to get rid of the buttons. And an Apple mouse, button-free. That's like unheard of. If you look at a Microsoft mouse, like if you want to compete with that, you got to have like a glove for your mouse and like a foot pump, for God's sake. Steve Jobs embraced his uniqueness. If you want to be the best, amplify your uniqueness. And you're going to discover how in just a little bit as we continue to read the book together. All right, let's get back into the book. I want you to know you can grow a legendary
Sample complete. Ready to continue?